Good Sunday morning to you. This is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio. Today's discussion, we will be talking about out of the box. We're going to continue our discussion on being a witness for Christ. We're going to take a look at the methodology that we use to reach souls for God's kingdom. Now, we're going to examine some of the questions. Are we too narrow-minded to reach anyone? Or are we too stuck in tradition and doctrine to really show the love of God and the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? When we talk to people, do they really believe our testimony? Or maybe it's just our delivery? Do we come over as being too self-righteous? These are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And we only have two scriptures today, Proverbs 12 and Hebrews 11. And we'll have an interesting concept on how God sees us and how we, in turn, see God's people. But first, as always, we're going to start off with praise and worship. This morning, we're going to be listening to Brian Courtney Wilson, Worth Fighting For, and Fred Hammond, Lord, We Need Your Love. And then we'll be right back after the praise and worship break. Remember, I do not own the rights to these songs. They are just for your listening pleasure. Enjoy.
Never leave me. You claim because I'm made for so much more. And I'm worth fighting for. Heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carry me and refuse to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am. Child. And I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. All you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love. When there's so much more still worth fighting for, now I'm moving. By faith and not by sight, towards victory. By the power of your might, you're straightening out my path. Opening every door, I am your child. And I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen,
ears haven't heard. All you have
meant
for me.
And nothing.
Hallelujah. It's worth fighting for.
Hallelujah.
It's worth fighting for.
Hallelujah.
Square your shoulders, and before it's all done, you
you look around
and the fountain is
Mr. Fred Hammond and Lord, We Need Your Love. Before that, we started out with Brian Courtney Wilson in Worth Fighting For. Two poignant songs for today as this is again Pastor Leona Ross with If My People on Blog Talk Radio. Our topic for today as we continue our series on witnessing for Christ is out of the box. And we're going to answer some poignant questions. Are we too stuck in tradition? Are we too religious minded? Too self-righteous to reach God's people? We know that they are hurting. We know that they are broken. But can we remember the time when we were in that place? Can we remember the time when we did not know Christ and the situations and circumstances of our life had us so downtrodden, had us so oppressed and depressed that we didn't or we could not see a way out? Can we remember how we felt at that time? Can we empathize with people who are there now? Or have we just been in church too long to understand hurting people, broken people? Are we so focused on the sin that we don't see the person behind those crying eyes? Are we so focused on the sin that we don't see the dilemmas and the chaos that the enemy has placed in their lives? Are we praying against those things? Are we asking God, going to God as we go forth to speak to his people? Yes, his people, because they're not our people. We didn't create us. It is God who created us. So all people, they belong to him, whether they're saved or not. Our motto should be saving the lost at any cost. That means we got to think outside of the box sometimes. We got to think outside of the church walls. We can't bring a newly Christian or a new person who does not know Christ. We can't introduce them to Christ at the level that we know him. We can't tell them, oh, well, you know, at our church, we do this, we do that. So when you come, you have to dress like this or act like that. They don't know that. They're not going to know that. And when you think in terms, didn't it take you time to learn all of that? Again, our two, this is Pastor Leona Ross with Blog Talk Radio. If my people, this is out of the box. And I say out of the box because we can't just be stuck in one way of doing things. We want to look at our methodology today for reaching souls for God's kingdom. We're going to look at tradition and doctrine and ask the question, are we really showing the love of Christ when we go out there? One of our signature scriptures is Proverbs 12. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearken unto counsel is wise. I'll ask the question again. Before you go out and want to witness to somebody or tell somebody about Jesus, are you praying and asking God for directions, the specific words that you need to use to pierce that person's heart? That they're going to turn and say, how can I be saved? How can I come to know this Jesus? Something that is going to give them hope. Remember, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You should be shining that light in your lives and by your words. See, remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You're either going to cause that person to have life or you're going to do some injury where they never maybe want to see another Christian or never maybe want to see the church. And last week we talked about condemnation. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. But many times we only see the sin when we're talking to God's people. We only see what we want to see. We only see the outside, their circumstance. We don't see the person as God sees them. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I know many times we have used that scripture and overused that scripture. We've used that scripture to describe things that we want personally out of God. But have you ever applied it to witnessing? Have you ever applied it to God's people, to saving souls? Now faith, your faith, because you're the one that believes. You're the one that knows what God can do, what God will do, and that he is a good and loving God. You know that. They lost people don't know that. So now faith is you, what you believe in, what you trust in. And it is the substance of things hoped for. Are you hoping to add souls to the kingdom? Are you hoping for lives to be changed? Are you hoping that God blesses his people exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever think and imagine, and that his kingdom is enlarged? And the end of that verse says, the evidence of things not seen. What don't you see about them? Of course you see the evidence of sin in their life. You see the circumstances and the situation that they are in now. But can you see them as saved? Can you see them as God sees his people? Remember, he says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He created it. And as we studied in Jeremiah last week, in Jeremiah 29 and 11, it says his hope is to bring us to an expected end. Can you see God's expected end in broken people? Or do you still just focus on the circumstance and the situation and the sin? I was talking with someone yesterday, and we were talking about how saints were in the old days, you know. And we'd have those rough messages. And people, you know, they would go and they would change. Some of them. That is true. Some of them. Those who had the intestinal fortitude and who had that support. But what about those who didn't have that support? See, because that story is not everybody's story. Many hurtful things were said to people in the guise of saving souls. How do you tell a broken person, hey, you shacking up, you know, you need to leave that man, you need to go and move out today without any concern about the circumstances that may come about? for example, Jesus and the woman at the well. He didn't tell her she was shacking up. He said, you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your own. When he asked her, lady, where is your husband? He already knew the answer. And she said, yes, you speak the truth. He didn't tell her to go home and look, lady. No, he just told her the situation that that she was in and offered her a way out. Because he told her, if you knew who you were speaking to, do we have that empathy? Are we so focused on, oh, you got to live right. You need to get right. You're just living wrong. No, you're not living a life pleasing to God. But what about you? How long did it take you to change? How long did it take you to come out of that situation? And these times are not like those times anymore. Truly, these are perilous times. People are walking in churches and shooting people and killing people just out of the blue for no reason except that of the enemy. See? But we know that the Bible says that when judgment comes, it's going to start in the church. It's going to start in the church. Remember, life and death are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Ross? That some of us are just in church and the church ain't in us. God is nowhere in us. We have self-righteous spirits and we think that our way is the only way. That's why the title of this show is Out of the Box. You can't just get caught up in your doctrine. You can't just get caught up in your methodology and think that that is the only way to get things done. That is the only way to reach people. Because these people who are lost, these people who are not saved, don't know what you know about God. They don't know what you know about Christ. So how are you going to bring them a platter full of doctrinal teaching and they don't know the best? He says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. Romans 8 and 1 says, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So why then are you condemning his folks? They know they're already in sin. They know what they do every day. And some people are very accepting of it. Someone posted to my Facebook page a letter that a congregation had written to a young lady who was caught up in homosexuality. And they basically told her that, hey, listen, because you enjoy being in this, and the Bible says that, you know, in the last days, people will enjoy the sin. They won't see anything wrong with it. But rather than ministering to her soul, ministering to her spirit, they went about ministering to her flesh, saying, you know, and since you're this, you are no longer a member of our congregation. And if you don't turn and repent, if you don't turn and repent, then, you know, we're going to go before the congregation and we're going to tell everybody that because you are this, that you are no longer a member of this congregation. And I guess the person who they wrote it to, you know, put it out there for everybody to see. But I think it should have been a conversation one-on-one with the pastor. Somebody should have been interceding for her soul, intervening on her behalf, because until anybody, even you, before you came to Christ, whatever your device was, whatever device, whatever plot, plan, or scheme of the enemy that was in your life, operating in your life, whatever that was, you didn't see anything wrong with it. Why? Because you were comfortable with it. It was where you was. It was what you were familiar with and accustomed to doing. And until you can see the point from God's eye view, from his perception, not man's perception. See, God is able to deliver you from any and all sin. He said he died for every sin known to mankind. So didn't he die for the cause of homosexuality? And sure, everybody is not going to see that it's wrong. Nobody's going to, you know, see that, okay, this comes against the word of God, because this is who they perceive themselves to be. They don't see themselves as being called to greater. And it's hurtful. It's hurtful when you tell somebody, oh, you a sinner. Oh, you're not living right. Oh, God is turning his back on you. How do you know? How do you know? Because people have been caught in situations and circumstances for years and years, and they are not going to get out of it overnight. They are not going to give up that behavior overnight just because you say it's a sin against God. They've got to come to that revelation on their own. At the end of the day, it's a choice, but it is God who worketh in them, not you. You are to draw them to Christ with love and kindness, not condemnation. Not with the propagation of the sin. You putting it all in there. This is what you are. This is what you're doing. And we just can't accept you. What if Jesus told that to the lady at the well? What if he said that to the woman caught in adultery? See how far away from God we are? See how far away from Christ we are? Yes, I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to church people to change your perception, to change the way that you see God's people. Stop being so self-righteous. Stop condemning God's folks because they're not living how you think they ought to live. What about what God says? Remember the story of the prodigal son? We like to read these stories and tell our kids about it. This was the prodigal son, you know. He got tired of working with his father. He got sick and tired of being under his father's authority. And he just wanted his share of the money, his share of his inheritance. And he wanted to leave, and he didn't think that he would have to work. But in Proverbs it said, a man who don't work won't eat. And he soon find that out, as we know, as we read the story, because he went partying with all of his friends, and when the money ran out, guess what? His friends ran out. But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Did God love him any less? No, he didn't. Remember, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. He led him back to his father. And that is the example, regardless of whether you're with God or not, or without God. If you're in God or if you're out of God. It is he who leads you back to him by his loving kindness, by his spirit. And as the body of Christ, it is that exemplification of Christ that we should have for his people. Not a word of condemnation. Not if you don't turn, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. Yes, he said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. But remember, those who are lost are not yet called by his name because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know him yet. They're not in relationship with him yet. It is your job to introduce them to Christ, to offer them a way out through love and kindness, thinking out of the box. Do you show up in your Sunday best when you go witnessing? Yeah. Well, they're going to look at you and they're going to know, oh, here come those church folks. Here come them people again. And they're going to go in the opposite direction. Or are you able to meet people at their level? Because it's not about the clothes. It's about the souls. Sometimes you just got to get on a regular outfit and just go as you are to reach the people. To become, in essence, one of them. You don't always got to be so high above everybody else with this high and mighty. Remember, the Bible says you ought to not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Meet people where they are. Meet them where they are. They already have a low self-esteem. They already know. I remember I was out giving out dinners at a club here locally in the middle of the night, and one of the lady started telling me, oh, Pastor, you know, I can't talk to you because I've done this and I've done that. And I just grabbed her and hugged her. I said, you haven't done anything that God can't forgive. Sometimes that's all people need to know. Take their eyes off the sin and focus them towards heaven. Focus them back toward the Father, because it never was about us anyway. Sometimes we want people to emulate us, and it's never been about emulating us. It has always been about the image of Christ, the image of God, because we are made in His image. And when we can bring that light to them, they're going to see. And that word is going to pierce their heart. It's going to pierce their heart, and they're going to look inwardly at themselves, and they're going to recognize that, yeah, maybe God can help me. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ can lift me out of the miry pits. It can lift me up out of this oppression and depression. It can lift me up out of this lifestyle that I've chosen. It can make me feel better about me. Because at the end of the day, that's all it's about. Looking in the mirror and be able to say, hey, I love me. Hey, I love who I am, and truly mean it, and not be ashamed, not feel bad when you go around folks or when you face your parents, because everybody is so displeased with the choices that you've made in life. And it doesn't matter what the vice is. It doesn't matter what the sin is, because in God, there is no degree of sin. Sin is sin. Only man has degrees of sin that says this is worse than this and this is worse than that. Sin is sin. And like it says, and we so quote it so liberally and so much, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him might have life, and that more abundantly. You know, we quote that, but do we really understand what it means to give up something so precious and so dear to you for somebody else, for people who don't know you, for people who don't care to know you, and for people who disobey you? But you're going to give up the only son, the only child that you have. There wasn't a daughter. There wasn't anybody else. There was just Christ. There was just Jesus. Just Jesus. Who went to the cross and died that we might be saved, that we might have the opportunity again to come into the presence of the Lord and make our petitions known, to tell God how we feel, to tell God what is hurting us, to tell God, oh God, to ask Him, God, why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? And receive an answer, because we're in His presence. Christ allowed us. He opened the doorway that we could do that. But it was His sacrifice. He didn't have anything else to give. He gave all that He had. And still does to this day. But many times we don't see that, because we see people who are so caught up in doctrinal teaching, in the method of doing things, that they can't reach simple people. They can't reach people because they're too self-righteous. They're too caught up in our church does it this way, or our pastor, or we've never done it that way, or we've never done this. That's not how we do it. Well, it's a new day and a new time, and these are new minds and new souls, and they have new ways of thinking, and they have reasons not to want the church, because there's no love. Many times there's no love. There's just rules. And I'm telling you, when people get tired of rules, they ignore them. They're like, oh no, they rebel. That allows room for the enemy to come in. See, they rebel against it because, no, I'm not gonna fit in that box. Accept people as they are and allow God to change them. Allow God to speak to their heart, to speak to their minds, to speak to their spirit, so that they can be made more in the image of who He is. Truly. Truly. And pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible says. In all kinds of prayers, are we praying for souls? Are we praying for lives? Are we praying for the lost to be changed? Not according to how we want them to be, but how God has ordained them to be. In Him, made in His image, and not in us. We spoke about Proverbs 12 and 15. It says, a fool only believes his ways is the right way. Without seeking counsel. And we just get in a routine, and that's what happens. It's the routine that kills us. Doing the same thing, the same way, daily. And thinking that it, listen. We had an example sometime, and I used to use it on my children when they were growing up. And I tell them, you know what? If you keep doing the same thing, the same way, you're going to get the same results. It's like having a recipe for a nasty cake. And you keep making the cake the same way, and you're looking at the recipe, and you're saying, oh, I did this, and I did this. And it's telling you to add salt instead of sugar. And you keep adding that salt, and it keeps coming out the same way. Well, until you seek counsel, until you figure it out, or somebody shows it to you that, hey, no, you don't need that much salt. No, you need sugar. Then things will change. The sweetness will come into your life. Yes, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. Yes, we are. But the love of God is the sugar that sweetens the people's life, that sweetens our words, that pierces their hearts, that lets them know that God is indeed concerned about you. He's not just this vengeful God that takes wrath because you're in sin and says that you're going to hell. No. He calls you. He weeps for you. He wants you to be saved, just like any mother who has a child and she loves that child. She doesn't want to see any harm come to them. God is the same way about His people. So how can we as the so-called church not be the same? Why are we not weeping and crying out for the lost, crying out for souls, crying out for lives to be changed and the evidence thereof in the earth? Do we have that kind of faith? More so, do we have that kind of love? More so, do we have that kind of compassion for God's people? Or is it just lip service? Is it just to be seen? Is it just to have an office? Is it just to stand in the pulpit and have the power to proclaim over a people's lives? Or is it the real true love of God? Can we take a step down? Can we decrease, truly decrease, so that God can increase in us? Can we truly show the love of God? Can we truly exemplify Christ in the earth in these latter times and not just look at the people and see the outward appearance of man? Or can we earnestly pray and ask God to show us that person's heart so that we might bombard the kingdom with prayers to change that person's life? A sincere and earnest prayer. It says the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It avails much when we fervently pray for the lost. We're going to see lives change. We're going to see those who we never thought that we would see in church. We're going to see people come out of their situations. When we truly get concerned about God's people. When we stop being so churchified. I know that ain't a word, but it's a word today. When we stop being so churchified, stuck up in doctrine, stuck up in how we should dress, how things should go, how the service should go. Rather than taking a minute to interrupt the service and just minister to a broken person. Just minister to a broken heart. To be led by the Spirit instead of led by a program. Truly led by the Spirit. Jesus stopped in the midst of everything that He was doing. And he said, somebody touched me. And the disciple said, wait a minute, Jesus. There's a billion people around you. Everybody is touching you. And he said, no, it wasn't that kind of touch. Because I felt the virtue leave from my body. Something happened to somebody. And he didn't go any further until the woman with the issue of blood came forward and said, Lord, it was I'm the one to touch you. Because I've had an issue of blood for 12 years. But I knew that if I could just touch the hem of your garment, and I know I'm not supposed to be out here because I have an issue of blood and I'm considered unclean. So I'm not even supposed to be around people. If you read the Old Testament in Leviticus, you knew that was the law. And at this time, because Christ had not yet been crucified, they were still under the law. So she should have been killed, but she was saved. Because she knew that the only way that this issue could be resolved is that she get to Christ. Is that she get to the image of God in the earth and just be in his presence. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment to receive the healing that she needed. Oh my God. Oh my God, if we only had that kind of faith in that. That if we could only touch the heart of God, that we could touch the heart of his people and many lives would be saved unto Christ. Many lives, many people would be changed. But he didn't condemn her. He said, because of your faith, you are saved. You are healed. See? But we would have said, oh no, you're not supposed to be out here, you know, because you got that issue. You unclean. You're not even supposed to be in the midst of us. What are you doing out here? Stop it. Just stop it. Regardless of what they're not supposed to be doing, regardless of what they are caught up in, regardless of what their sin is, we ought to stop what we're doing. Look at it through the eyes of God, through the heart of God, and say, hey, God, I know you can deliver this person. I know you can save this person. God, minister to their needs even now as I'm speaking. Give me the words to say, God, that's going to pierce their heart, that when they go away from here, they're not going to leave the same way that they came in. They're going to leave with a seed of your word down on the inside of them, Lord, that's going to sprout and grow and effect change in their lives, Lord God, to cause them to be the people, Lord God, that you called them to be. Not what I see, not how I think, not how I feel, Lord God, but how you see your people, because your love is unconditional. You reign on the just as well as the unjust. And you love your people, God, in spite of their sins. Because if you had not, you would never have sent your one and only son to die for all of us, that we might be saved. That's the kind of compassion that we need to have for souls. That's the kind of love that we need to have for God's people. That's the kind of message that we need to be speaking when we go out witnessing, when we are among God's people. Not looking at them while we're driving our fancy cars down the road and they're homeless or they're dirty or they're hungry or they're not dressed the way that we think that they ought to be dressed. And we've got a judgmental eye and a judgmental word and a judgmental thought, because the Bible says that the thoughts, our thoughts condemn us. Do we see a person that may not be up to our standards? Do we say, God, please bless them? Do we go in the store and buy them the things that they need and say, God, bless you? Not giving them, hey, I'm Pastor such and such, and I just wanted to bless you today, and post it all over social media for everybody to see what you're doing. No. God says, what you do in secret, I will reward you openly. Can we just bless somebody just because, just for the glory of God? And nobody has to know about it. Can we just bless God's people and show them Christ? See, because if you remember the woman at the well, Jesus didn't talk to her. He didn't engage her until all of the disciples were gone away. They went out to get food. And he came and he had a private conversation with her. Because the first thing that the disciples would have said, because they were caught up in tradition and caught up in the law, was, why is our master talking to him? Even the scribes and Pharisees, they even said, when Jesus was sitting at the table, he said, this man cannot be a man of God. He's sitting with publicans and taxpayers. He's sitting with all kinds of sinners. How is he even a man of God? See? And the woman who was crying at his feet, who anointed his feet and washed them with her hair, as it says in the Bible. He said, you know, if he knew who this woman was, these are the people around him, the little church folk around him. They said, if he knew who this woman was, he would not even let her touch him. And then Jesus said, you know what? I came into your house and you didn't offer me water to wash my feet or anything. Yet this woman has not stopped crying over me and anointing my feet since she got here. So who's greater? I'm asking, who's greater? The one that saw fit to bow down at his feet and take a lowly position, not even feeling worthy of lifting up their head to face the man of God, to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people are so burdened down in sin, they do not think they are worthy. So who are we to come in and make them feel worse, saying, oh, you ought not to do that? No, our message should be God loves you. God cares about you. And I'm just here to tell you about Jesus and how good he is. Not to tell you about your sin. Not to tell you what you ought not to be doing, because I'm pretty sure you already know that. So you don't need to hear that. But I'm here to tell you that regardless of all that you think about yourself, God thinks more of you, because, baby, you are made in his image. And he loves you exceedingly and more than you could ever think or imagine. Because he sees you beyond the sin. He sees you in his image, because that's who he created you to be. Are we given that message? See, an uplifting message, not a message of condemnation, a message of change, a message of, oh, yes, you are better than this. You're better than this. And there is someone who truly loves you just as you are, in spite of, and he wants more for you. He wants you to have more out of life. But at the end of the day, sweetie, it's your choice. All I'm offering you is a new way of life, a new way of thinking. And maybe they won't see that at first. But do you have the intestinal fortitude to keep coming back? Do you have the intestinal fortitude to keep persevering in the word of God and spreading that love and showing that love? Because people hear words, but they see action. What are you doing? What are you doing to demonstrate Christ in the earth? It's more than just words. I'm sorry. We got to get out of the box where we're just passing out pamphlets and passing out flyers and saying, this way to Christ. No, show me. Show me the way of Christ. Show me Christ in you. Show me that you care about me, that no matter, even if you see me with a beer or you see me with a cigarette or you see me with whatever it is my vice may be that you so-called church folk don't approve of, if you see me with these things, that you're not going to shun me or tell me, you know, you ought not to be doing that. I remember walking the streets and going to check on people and stuff, and that very same, they might be smoking weed, they might have a beer in their hand, and they'll hide it behind their back. Oh, pastor, I don't want you to see me like this. Baby, it's all right. It don't matter if I see you. What matters is that God sees the change in you. This is where you are now, but keep growing. Keep trusting. Keep reading your Bible. Keep listening to the word of God. I'm not going to stop. Just stop coming around just because you still smoking or you still drinking. I came to pick you up so we can go to church. Are you going today? Oh, pastor, give me a minute. I'm coming. See? and not leave them there, not condemn them. No, it's some things we see and we don't see, because we've got to learn to see God's people as he sees them, not the circumstances. Because if I would have condemned that young person then and what they were doing, guess what? They never would have made it into the doors of the church. They never would have stopped drinking. Their lives never would have changed. Got to see past some stuff. Remember, now faith. Now faith. Do you have faith enough to see them beyond what they're doing now, beyond their situation, beyond their circumstance? Or was it just good enough for you? Did you forget where you came from? Did you forget how you were? Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. That means don't judge nobody. That's what it means. Don't judge anybody. That's exactly what it means. Don't judge nobody. Because you ain't clean. You ain't been holy all your little life. Stop lying. Just because you got a position in the church, or just because you've been in Christ. Oh, I've been in God 40 years. But is God in you? Can people see the love of God in you? Or is it just something we've been accustomed to say because it's traditional? Because it's what we do. See? Let's get out of the box, people. Let's get out of the box. Get out of the box and trust God and allow God to be who he is, that we might truly reach his people through love and kindness, that they may want Christ, that they may want a change in their life, that they may say, you know what that lady said or that man said, you know, and if God can do it for them, maybe he can do it for me. They're going to have a maybe because they're not going to be sure. You are sure because you've already been tested and tried and proved God. You've already done that, but they haven't. All they see is the calamity and the situations and the circumstances that they are in. All they see is the hurt and the pain. Give God an opportunity to touch their heart and to change them, because you can't do it without it. Stop thinking so highly of yourself that you got the power. No, God has the power. Our Father, which art in heaven, has the power. But he will answer your prayer if you pray earnestly for souls. He will effect a change in their life. And when the enemy get busy because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if indeed you are, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? You can stop the enemy in their tracks. Because don't think that once you witness Christ to them and once they begin to change their mind, or once they begin to make up their mind to get to know Christ, to truly come in a relationship with Christ Jesus, with our Heavenly Father, don't think the enemy ain't going to get busy in their lives. That's why the prayers of the saints are needed, to bind the will of the enemy and to bring all of his works to naught, to cover and shield and protect the children. And when I say children, I don't mean the little kids. I mean the children of God. Those new souls who are coming into, or trying to come into, a right relationship in Christ Jesus. We can't just witness and not pray and cover them. No. No, we just can't leave them out there alone. We got to say, God, this is the person that I talked to today. God, cover, shield, and protect him. We bind the will of the enemy, every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy that comes against their lives, that tries to deter them from coming in a relationship with you. And we pray it daily, not one time. Every time that person comes into our minds, we pray, because we have the power. We have the words. We have the authority to intervene on their behalf. We are covered. We are truly the shepherds of the sheep. So it is our prayers that has to bombard heaven, to cover them, to shield them, protect them, to bring them out. That's what our prayers are for. That is the most powerful witnessing tool that we have after we introduce them to Christ. We stay in contact with them. Call them once a week. Hey, I miss you. I haven't seen you. I didn't see you standing on the block. Where have you been? You need anything? Can I do anything for you? Well, I still just want you to know that God loves you, I love you, and we're concerned about you. See? Only takes a minute. Only takes a second to let somebody know who God is in the earth through you, through your actions, through your demonstration of Christ in the earth. Only takes a second. Only takes a few minutes out of your day. You got to get out of the box. You got to get a different method of reaching God's people, because they're not the same. Times are not the same as they were back then. Church folks could say stuff to people back then and get away with it. This day, that may not happen. You might get your little self hurt. Honestly, let's just be truthful. Step up to somebody the wrong way. With your self-righteous attitude. Thinking you can just walk up to somebody and say any manner or words that you want to. Oh, you ought not. No, no. Before you get it out your mouth, you might be assaulted, cussed out, slapped, or whatever. You never know. You got to come correct. You got to come better than that. You got to come with the love of Jesus Christ. And you have to respect all people. Don't, because respect begets respect. Don't think that just because you were the so-called pastor, evangelist, teacher, church member, whatever, that you're supposed to be in Christ, that you can just talk to people any kind of way. No. Through love and kindness have I drawn thee. No, you don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to turn your nose up at folks. Nope, you don't. I'm sorry, whoever told you that, honey, they lied to you. You don't have that right. I don't care who you are. If you're not coming in love and kindness, then you're coming incorrect. If you're coming disrespectful, then you're coming incorrect. I'm sorry. Go back. Change your ways. Redo. Look in the mirror and get yourself right before you go out there and try to tell somebody how to be right. Get yourself right first. Make sure you come in with the heart of the Savior and not your heart of flesh, how you see things and how you feel about people. Because honestly, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to receive you. And it's not about age. It's not about gender. It's not about any of that. It's about the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you and how you approach people. And some of us need to learn that. We got to remember Proverbs, as I said, you know, our signature scripture for today. You know, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearken unto counsel is wise. See? Go back and fix yourself first before you go out there and try to fix one of God's people who ain't saved yet and don't know that they have a call of God on their life yet. Make sure you're coming correct. Make sure you're coming with the love of God and not a spirit of condemnation. Make sure you're coming out of the Spirit of God and not out of your flesh. Because that's how it has always worked. I'm sorry, people. Don't mean that it's going to work for this person at such a time as this. If he caused us to save the lost, if he called us to set the captive free, then we need to be seeking his face on how to do that. We need to be seeking his face on how to reach his people. And we can't reach him. We can't reach them out of a fleshly nature. We have to do it by the Spirit. We have to do it through love and kindness. We have to do it by showing who he is in the earth, that he's truly still concerned about his people. This has been Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. Our topic of conversation was out of the box. Getting out of the old ways of doing things and finding new ways to reach God's people by his Spirit and not by how we think or how we feel. I hope this message has touched somebody's heart, that it was edifying to the body of Christ. Remember, I love you all, and I thank you for listening in to If My People on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back here on next Sunday at 12 noon with If My People. Have a blessed week. I love you, but God loves you more. In Jesus' name, have a blessed day. We're going out of here with Lord, We Need Your Love, because if anything, more than anything in this day and time, yes, God, we need your love. Until next time, this is Pastor Leona Ross with If My People. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the soul of my soul.